So this weekend, my son Cole and I had planned, here's the plan, keyword, to sit in a cool, dark movie theater. And we were gonna have our jumbo soda that we paid $9 for, right? And our large popcorn that we were gonna get a refill on for sure, and some Milk Duds and Sour Patch Kids, and we were gonna have our masks on as we got ready to watch the new movie, The Lone Ranger. However, you may or may not be aware of this, but The Lone Ranger has had some problems finding a release date. It actually was going to be released in the summer of 2011. From there, it got pushed to Christmas of 2012, just this last year. At Christmas time, they set the release date for May 31st, 2013, this weekend. And then just recently again, it was pushed to July 3rd of 2013. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't know if the Lone Ranger is ever going to ride again. I mean, it is crazy. The good news, I guess, is that we have all kinds of old episodes to reflect upon. In fact, the Lone Ranger actually began airing episodes on the radio in 1933. Is that amazing? And then it went to books, comic books, movies, television. And for 80 years, most of the episodes have been pretty similar. In fact, I don't want to spoil the new movie that comes out in just a couple of weeks for you, but let me tell you just a few things about it. First of all, there's going to be a villain, okay? This villain is going to be bent on doing harm to otherwise innocent people. The Lone Ranger, of course, is going to get wind of this, and he is going to come to the rescue, but very early on in the movie, he's going to find himself over his head, and his best friend named who? Tonto is going to come to the rescue. Now, I need to tell you this as well, just to warn you, Tonto in this movie is going to look a lot like Jack Sparrow, okay? Don't be alarmed by that. It's okay. But the Lone Ranger, along with Tonto, are going to save the day, thus perpetuating one of the oldest sayings in American culture. That is, when somebody's trying to do life on their own, when somebody's trying to do too much on their own, we say something like this. Hey, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, right? So here we are in this series at the movies. I need you to know this, though, that this series is not really so much about movies. You see, for the next 5 weeks, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna bounce off of a blockbuster movie, and we're gonna find ourselves immersed in Bible study. What I'm saying is the vast majority of our time is going to be spent with the Bible, not the blockbuster. We're gonna do whatever we can to be contemporary to our culture without compromising God's word. Everybody say, that's right. That's right. So today, here's what I want us to do. I want us to bounce off of this movie, The Lone Ranger, into the following Bible-based principle. If you're taking notes, here's the single principle that we're going to talk about today. It's simply this. You were created for community. You were created for community. You were never, ever intended to do life as a Lone Ranger. Now, if you have a Bible on one of our campuses or you're watching online and you have a Bible, go ahead and pull your Bible out. I want you to open to Genesis chapter 1. It's really easy to find. It's kind of right at the beginning, right by the table of contents. Just go a little ways to the right, Genesis chapter 1. And while you're turning there, let me tell you this. I've read Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, dozens or hundreds of times. It's the story of creation. But I want to share something with you today that really until a few years ago, I hadn't realized about community and about doing life together, and it's found here in the story of creation. Genesis chapter 1 starts out, everything God is creating is pretty much just good. Let's look at this together. Chapter 1, verse 4, God creates light, and he says that it was good. In verse 10, it says he creates the water, and he creates the land, and it was, everybody, good. In verse 12, it says he creates the vegetation and the plants and everybody on all campuses. It was good. In verse 18, he creates the day and he creates the night and it was good. He creates the creatures of the sea in verse 21, and they were good. In verse 25, the creatures of the land, and they were good. You see where we're going with this? Verse 31 is kind of near the completion of creation, and God creates man. And he doesn't say man is good. He says man is what? Very good. And God is so pleased with everything he has created that on the seventh day, he rested. But he didn't rest for long, because by the very first few verses of Genesis chapter 2, something all of a sudden is not good. Did you know that? Did you know that even right at the beginning of creation, by God's own admission, something wasn't good? Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for a man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now think about this for a minute. There's no sin yet in the world. There has been zero disobedience in the world. God and man are, there's nothing separating them. They are living in a perfect relationship. It even says in the Bible that Adam walks with God in the garden in the cool of the day. This is like a perfect paradise that they are living in. And yet something was not good. And what was that again? Adam felt alone. And when you read this, if you're like me, you start thinking to yourself, well, I don't know why he felt that way. I mean, because Adam really wasn't alone. I mean, God was right there, right? And that's true. But even though, this is such an important point, even though God is right there with him, around him, Adam still felt alone. Let me ask you a question. You ever been there? Have you ever had a situation in your life and you believed with all of your heart, don't get me wrong, you believed with all of your heart that God was right there with you, but even believing that God was with you, you still felt alone. You know what you needed? You know what Adam needed? He needed somebody with skin on. And that's what you need sometimes. This is so very important. Please, please, please don't miss this. In your life, you must realize that you were created, I was created, for two relationships, with God and with others. With God and with others. In fact, there's two principles at work in this passage in Genesis that we've already read. If you're taking notes, the first principle is this, that there is a God-shaped hole in every heart that nothing else can fill. A God-shaped hole that nothing else can fill. You've probably heard that before if you've been around church at all, or maybe your grandma said that to you, or your parents or some pastor or a priest said, there's a God-placed hole in your heart, and we try and fill it with all kinds of things, don't we? I mean, we try and fill it with hobbies, we try and fill it with other people, we try and fill it, ladies, with shoes, purses. Guys, we try and fill it up with different golf clubs or Apple products or boats or motorcycles or those sorts of things. But the bottom line is there's this God-shaped hole in our heart. And when we don't have God in that place, we are going to be eternally and continually frustrated. It's a God-shaped void. You've probably heard that. But here's a second principle. And this one is the one that just kind of really blows my mind. The second principle is this. There is also a human-shaped hole in every heart that God has chosen not to fill. Do you get that? Don't miss this. There is a void in your life. In mine, there's a hole, there's an open space, there's a want, there's a need, there's a desire in every single one of our lives that God actually created. And then he chose not to fill it. Now, could God have created Adam not to need Eve? Sure, I think he could have. But he did not. You see, Adam needed his relationship with God and his relationship with Eve. And I want you to know that these two principles have trickled down into the lives of every single person who has ever walked on this planet. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you come to church all the time or you never really come to church at all. It doesn't matter if you call yourself a Christian or you don't call yourself a Christian at all. Guess what? You were created. God made you for two relationships, with God and with others. And when a person tries to violate this principle and live life as a lone ranger, as the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, it's not good. So here's what I want to do today. I want to take all of us on a journey to find greater and greater and greater community with God and with others. And I promise you, no matter where you are in life, whether you come to church a lot or a little, no matter where you are, you're going to find yourself somewhere in this message today. I want to introduce you to three levels of community, and they kind of graduate or escalate in intensity. Here's the first one if you're taking notes. Fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship, the key word there is simply belonging. And this means that you find a good church and you get involved. It may be CCV or it may be another church somewhere in this valley. There's lots of great churches in this valley, but the bottom basic line in community in God's plan in this world is that you find a good church and you get involved. Now, over the years, I have had a number of people say things to me like, Todd, you know what? I'm a Christian, but I don't really want or I don't really need to belong to a church. And I just kind of look at them and I just want to like grab them and say, what? What? I mean, to say that you're a Christian, to say that you believe in God and believe in the Bible, but I don't want to be a part of the church, I don't want to be a part of the community that it affords us, that makes absolutely no sense. And I have people say things to me like, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Bible. I believe in God. Todd, right? And maybe that's you. Maybe you say, well, I believe. And you know what? That's great. That's wonderful. But here's the problem. The Christian life is not so much about believing. It's also about belonging. It's not just about believing. It's also very much about belonging. You can believe all sorts of things in this book, the Bible, but if you don't belong to God's family and get involved in God's family, then you're missing the boat on what it means to be a Christian. In Romans chapter 12, verse 5, it says, in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, you who are members of God's very own family and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. You, everybody say you belong. The Christian life is not just about believing, it's about belonging. And you must choose to belong. This is very different than the biological families that we were born into. There wasn't any decision necessary. You see, I was born to Terry and Rita Clark. I am a Clark, no decision necessary. Whether I like it or not, I'm a Clark. But when I was 9 years old at Johnson County Christian Church in Overland Park, Kansas, I stepped forward and I made a decision to belong to the family of God. And there's a symbol for this. There's a picture for this. Belonging to God's family. It's called baptism. Baptism is picturing with your life what Jesus did with his in the death and the burial and the resurrection. Baptism is saying, I believe in Jesus. I want to have my sins forgiven. I want the gift of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to belong to the family of God. And guess what? This is something that you must choose. No one can choose this for you. Not your parents, not a pastor, not a priest. This is something that you must choose to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, it says, this is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized, that each of us is now part of his resurrection body. One of the very first levels of community that a person could and should experience is fellowship and belonging, because you were never, ever meant to do life as a lone ranger. Now today, if you'd want to be involved in this and belong in a place like this, right out as you leave this place today or any of the campuses, right out at the Info Center, you could stop and talk to somebody there about belonging to this place. Also, we have this incredible thing coming up called Starting Point this Wednesday and also this next Sunday, the 9th. Starting Point is an incredible way to find out about CCV and what we believe and why we do what we do. You can sign up at the Info Center today or you could sign up online later on today or later on this week, but it's on Wednesday and Sunday, and it's a great way to get involved and belong around here. So the first level of community is fellowship. The second level, if you're taking notes, is friendship. And the key word that goes along with friendship is this word sharing. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44, it says, all the believers met together constantly, and they shared everything with each other. There's two things I want you to see in this section of scripture. If you're taking notes or if you underline things in your Bible, the first thing I want you to underline or write is that they met together. They physically met together. You cannot develop friendships without meeting together. What I'm saying is you're never going to just drift towards community and friendships, especially in this digital world where we all kind of cocoon ourselves in our homes, right? I've been thinking about this a lot. I don't think there's ever been a time in history where it's been more difficult to make real friends. I mean, think about this. In this social media world we live in, we are as connected as we've ever been, but we're also as lonely as we've ever been. As connected as ever, but also as lonely as ever. Now, please understand, I know that we all have friends on things like Facebook, right? And some of you have hundreds or 200s or 500 or 1,000. And I enjoy Facebook, and so I'm not kind of down on Facebook. But the reason Facebook, you understand this, is so popular is because it's so easy to become friends. All you have to do is what? Click. We're friends. Wonderful. I have 50 new friends today. Isn't that fantastic? And you see, the problem with things like Facebook is also the problem a lot of times we have in churches, and that is that people often wear masks, kind of like a Lone Ranger. And when you're living your online life and you're coming to church, sometimes the problem in our online world and the problem in our church world is that it's so easy to fake who you really are. It's so easy to just kind of fake how you're really feeling and not let people even really know it. And a lot of times that's just kind of what we do when we gather on a weekend. We don't really make friends because we just kind of fake who we really are and how we're really feeling. In fact, take just one moment and take a look at this short, humorous video. I think it will help make my point.
God intended fellowship to be a vital part of our life in the body of the church. That's why it is so important that we have church friends. Church friends are just like normal friends, except you should act totally different around them. When you are with church friends, you should always be smiling and talking only about how solid your walk with God is. Don't talk about your cares and concerns or tell your favorite joke about the priest and rabbi in the rowboat. That is for your secular friends. It is imperative that you only show your church face to your church friends. It can be hard sometimes to keep them from seeing the real you. But remember, you only see them once a week. So if you can just keep smiling until you get in your car, you're golden. These have been Deep Thoughts from a Shallow Christian.
I think we all kind of laugh and we see ourselves in different places. But part of the reason we laugh is because so many times we do that, right? And we just kind of put on a face and we just kind of make our way through a weekend or whatever gathering, whatever church it is that we might come to in fellowship. And we miss really going deeper in community and making friends. And that's why around here at CCV, you hear us talk about these things a lot. We have these things called neighborhood groups. And to us, neighborhood groups are not a program. They're a lifestyle. The neighborhood groups, the reason we have these is because we realize that friendships and community don't just happen. You're not going to just drift all of a sudden into greater friendships. You're not going to wake up one day and say, I have no idea how I got all these friends. This is fantastic. It takes meeting together. And it also takes sharing. That's what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 44. It says they shared everything. Now, what does that really mean? What should we be looking to share as human beings? Well, let me give you a few ideas. First of all, we can share our experiences. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, it says, people learn from one another, just as iron sharpens iron. When you decide to live outside of community, your life immediately becomes full of unnecessary mistakes. Let me say that again. When you decide to live outside of community, your life immediately becomes full of unnecessary mistakes. You see, part of the reason that God created community is so that we could learn from each other, so that we could share experiences with each other. You see, you know some things that I don't, and I know some things that you don't. And the person sitting next to you knows some things that neither of us know. And think of all just the wisdom in a place like this, if we would just take time to share life together and share some experiences together. A second thing that we could share is our homes. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, open up your homes to each other. Now notice in that verse, it doesn't say open up your homes if they're big, or open up your homes if they're really beautiful, or if they happen to be clean, right? It doesn't say, oh, if you just recently got some new furniture at a boutique in Scottsdale, then open up your home so everyone can see this. No, it just says open them up. Open up your homes, whether they're big, whether they're clean, no matter what. Why does it say that? Why does God want us to open up our homes to each other? I think it's, when you think about it, kind of simple, and that is because community cannot be created in a crowd. Community isn't really created in a crowd. I mean, consider when we come into a large room on the weekend full of hundreds and hundreds of people. This is a really, really good thing. This is something we should do. It pleases God. It honors God. We can worship God, and we can learn, and we can grow. But very little community will actually happen here in a one-hour service, in a place like this, in a room like this. You're going to walk out of this room not really knowing anybody any better than you knew them 1 hour ago. And that's why I think we open up our homes. Do we continue to gather up on the weekends? Of course we do, but we add to that this whole next level of being friends and doing life together. I love this quote from Pastor Don. He said, "We started CCV in our living room, and we've been trying to get back there ever since." Isn't that great? A large church like CCV doing everything we can to get back into the living room environment so community can really happen. Here's a third thing that we can share, and that is our problems. You were never, ever meant to face your problems as a Lone Ranger. In Romans, in the Bible, chapter 12, verse 15, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, it says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. You know why I think this is in the Bible? I love what Pastor Rick Warren says. He says it's because when you share a joy, it's doubled. And when you share a problem, it's cut in half. Isn't that good? When you share a joy with someone, it's doubled. One of your kids graduates from elementary school or junior high or high school or college, and you share that with somebody, and the joy is just doubled. Or one of your kids is involved in the Stars sports programs around here, and their season is going really well, or they're going to a championship, and you share that with somebody, and the joy is just doubled. But then you share a problem with someone, and that problem is actually cut in half, because now they are helping you carry that problem. You see, part of the genius of community is sharing our highs and our lows, our joys and our sorrows. The second level of community is friendship and sharing life together. You know who's really good at this, by the way? Kids. Students are really good at this, making friends, sharing life together. One of the things that's going on this summer around here is camp. We have a bunch of 4th through 6th graders who just got back from camp. We have several thousand students going to camp this summer. And I want you to please remember to keep praying for our students who are going to camp this summer. You know why? Here's what I say to families all the time when it comes to their lives and their students in camp. You show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. You show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Who you hang out with is eventually who you become like. And that works for students, but it also works for parents. It also works for adults. This is why the friends that we have, the people we hang out with, is so important to God, that we would open our homes to them. And if this is your level where you need to step up to, maybe you could talk to somebody about that today. Maybe come into that Starting Point class. You could get involved in how all of that works. You know, another great way to make friends around a place like CCV is not just in a neighborhood group, but it's in serving. Getting together with some people, whether they're ushers or greeters, Somebody in security, somebody in the twos and threes class, somebody in the junior high, somebody in the high school, somebody in sports, wherever it is, getting together with a group of people and saying, hey, look, I'm going to dive in and serve. And pretty soon that group of people that you didn't even really know, they become some pretty good friends. It's another great way to be involved in community, is serving around a place like this. Well, here's the last thing, the last level of community. Again, it escalates in intensity, and that is family. And the key word that goes along with family is the word sacrifice, or sacrificing. This is the deepest level of community in the family of God, and that is loving and sacrificing for people who aren't even really your family, as if they are your family. Renee and I, we've lived here now for about 6 months, and we don't have really any of our family here. My parents aren't here, nor hers. We don't have any brothers or sisters here or anything like that, no biological family, but we have had, over the last few months, quite a few people treat us as if we're family. It's pretty cool. We've had people come to our house and help us move, which is fantastic. We've even had people that we don't even know bring us meals, which is strange, by the way. Can I just say that? I mean, they knock at your door and they just give you a meal, and we assume they're from CCV. We don't know. We ate them. We're still here, okay, right? Just people going around giving meals. Okay, that's another message, probably for another time. But we've had people feed us, and we don't even know them. We've had people pick our kids up from school. And some of you listening right now, you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? Because you have some friends, and they feel so much like family to you. It's just the way it works. These are the people who watch your kids so that you can have a date night. Or they watch your house when you go on vacation and make sure everything's okay. If they're really like family, they watch your pets when you go on vacation. These are the people who are the first ones to show up at the hospital when somebody gets sick or somebody is injured. These are the kinds of people, family kinds of people, they're the ones who are at your side, and they don't leave your side when someone has died. You see, you were created for this, and so was I. It's called community. And you see how it works? You see how it escalates? You start out just getting into fellowship with people. You say, hey, I'm going to go belong there. And you get into fellowship. And when you get into fellowship, you quickly begin to make some friends. And if you stick with these friends, not all of them, but some of these friends will actually begin to feel like family. You get involved in fellowship, you make friends, and some of those friends become like family. This is where, when everyone else is walking out, this person's walking in. When everyone else is assuming the worst, this person is assuming the best. This is the deepest level of community in the family of God. It's sacrificing for each other. And this, you gotta know this, this level of community was actually first modeled for us by Jesus Christ Himself. He's the very best at it. Look at this verse in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. We know what real love is because Christ gave up his life for us, and we ought to give up our lives for our Christian brothers and sisters. There is no doubt that Jesus was the best one to model this. He gave up his life. He sacrificed. He shared everything with us, hoping that in one day in return, we would do the same sort of thing for other people. So, let's put all of this together today. Here's the takeaway. Where are you when it comes to community? If you have notes, just look at your notes. Is it fellowship? Is it friendship? Is it family? Where are you? Just kind of be honest and just kind of give yourself a grade. Maybe for you, the step you need to take is fellowship. Maybe you've been around CCV for months or for years. Maybe you've bounced around all sorts of churches for months and for years. And what you need to do is you just need to belong. You need to jump in somewhere with both feet. Maybe you need to be baptized. If that is what you need to do, then take that step this weekend. Maybe the next step for you is the friendship step. You've dove in, you're a member, you've been through a starting point class, you've been baptized and pictured with your life what Jesus did, and you just need to dive in and make some friends. You need to get involved in the neighborhood group that meets in your area, or maybe you need to start serving. You need to go out to the info center and say, look, I need to serve somewhere, and begin to make friends in that way. If that's your step, man, Don't wait around another 2 months or 6 months or 3 years. Don't put off this in your life. Dive in today. Maybe you've done that too. Maybe you're serving. Maybe you've been baptized. Maybe you're doing everything you can to belong and share at this place. But what you need to do is really take the next step with somebody and be like family. Maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood group or just somebody that you know here around the church. And maybe in the next week or two or three, you need to pull that couple aside or that individual aside. You need to take them out for a coffee and you need to say, look, I don't want to be weird. Say that first, okay? Especially if you're a guy. But man, we've been friends for a while. And I just want you to know that I'm here for you. I'm here for you no matter what, the ups and the downs in your life, in your family. I just want you to know I'm here because I feel like your family. And maybe you just need to take that step with someone around you and just voice it. Listen, wherever you are, I would urge you to find your next step in community and take it, because nobody was ever meant to live life as a Lone Ranger. Agreed? Agreed. Let's pray. God, thanks so much for today. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together, to study, to learn, to grow, to sing these songs to you, to study your word. God, I thank you so much for the truth of your word that shows us how to do life together. God, thank you for your son, Jesus, who modeled that first and foremost, coming to this earth, giving his life for us, sharing and sacrificing for us. God, I pray that we would live in that same way as we head out into a brand new week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Amen.